Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is 6 in the morning on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Thank you for waking up with us. Coming up in the next 3 hours, we will start in the Sunshine State. Chiefs and Jags getting together on Monday Night Football in Jacksonville, improving to 4-1. We'll talk about it. We've got playoff baseball as well. In 20 minutes, LeBron James has a big announcement coming later on today. Actually, at noon, we'll decide what it means, and then we'll bring in D-Day and Double D for some hot takes now that Week 5 in the NFL is in the books. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, it's a Tuesday. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So normally Tuesdays are not my favorite, but Jinx, we have postseason baseball every single day. I feel like this truly is the best time of year.
Yeah, it's awesome. Having sports in the afternoon when you work this shift that we work is amazing. And also, even in the evening, I felt like it was Saturday night last night because everyone knows I'm old and I have soft bones and I go to bed early. But I was in bed and I was cool. I was like, I can't sleep. I try to make myself sleep. And then I kept going back football, then I'm watching baseball, and then the Cubs game started late against the Brewers. I was like, this feels like a Saturday night, and it's a Monday.
It was like the perfect night for the split screen, right? Because you had football on one side and baseball on the other, and even the baseball game, which was one thrilling finish from the Dodgers and Phillies game, to they go directly into a 3-run home run by Seiya Suzuki. And Jinx, I don't know if you were up at that very moment, but think about it. You're like, oh, let's see what the Brewers and Cubs are going to do. I've got the Brewers. 3-run home run by Seiya Suzuki in the first inning. What are we doing? So luckily, that one ended up in the right direction for us, but it was not the best way to turn on the Cubs and Brewers game.
Oh, I know, especially if you were like a couple outs late. You're like, are you serious? I just tuned in, guys. Like, I just turned over, but the Brewers, man, responded very quickly. We'll get to that. But first, how about a flawless night of betting here on the show?
Flawless victory.
That's right. Perfection, Chelsea. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, best bet of the night was Patrick Mahomes over his rushing prop. His attempts were set at 4.5. He hit the over at 6. And I was wondering about this one early because I think part of the handicap was this game needed to be close. And the Chiefs took a 14-0 lead. I'm like, oh, no. Come on, Trevor Lawrence. Do something. But luckily, this game came down to the final seconds. What a game. And that was a winner for me. Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher for the Chiefs. And I believe Trevor Lawrence was the leading rusher for his team as well. So a quarterback rushing clinic. And as I mentioned, we both were on the Brewers last night on the money line over the Cubs. It was a little interesting in the first inning. The over, I feel like, was a solid play in that one as well. But the Brewers win it 7-3 final score. So a couple of dubs.
Nice job. I went 2-0 as well. I had the Brewers on the money line and took a risk with the Jags plus 3.5. I was nervous because Sammy P was on the Chiefs minus 3.5. I don't like going against him, but got the dub there despite that early slow start from Jacksonville. Dogster had the Dodgers on the money line against the Phillies. Dodgers went 4-3. So for the week, look at this. You and I are both 2-0 and the Dogster is 1-0 here on the Daily Tip. It is on the BetMGM Network and we begin in Jacksonville. What a game this was on Monday Night Football. The Jags topping the Chiefs 31-28. The Jags getting 3.5. They were plus 165 on the money line, and the overheads total set at 45 and a hook. What a wild finish. The Chiefs look early like they're going to run away with things, right? In the second quarter, Trevor Lawrence, that fumble on a 4th-and-1 on the Chiefs' 1-yard line. The Chiefs recover. They drive 93 yards the other way. It's 14-0 Kansas City. But the Jags get back in the game. They're down 28-24, under 30 seconds to play. And then Lawrence delivers one of the derpiest, dorkiest, and most effective plays you'll ever see.
First and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville!
That is ESPN Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call. Even Troy Aikman, that was him going, no way. Like, Lawrence was on the ground. He somehow got up and got in. He throws for 221 yards and a score. Leads the team in rushing, 54 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the Jags end an 8-game losing streak to the Chiefs, all on Lawrence's 26th birthday. This was a hell of a game and massive for Jacksonville.
Yeah, let's talk about this play for a second, because I have never related to a singular play in the NFL more than this play, because I think we've all been in this moment where, you know, you do something really embarrassing, you fall flat on your face, and you say, hey, I'm going to show some grit and I'm going to get up. Because we've seen this in the NFL where there have been teams who have had improbable comebacks, and maybe it's at the hands of like terrible plays by the other teams, but it just goes to show how resiliency absolutely matters in life, and certainly in the NFL. None of these games are over until the clock strikes zero. And we saw that last night.
When Liam Cohen is saying it was a goofy play to end the game, it's a goofy play to end the game, because this is Mr. Duval. But it was. I mean, Lawrence was on the ground, and the reason why he stumbled in the first place is because his left guard, thank you for that, Dylan, his left guard stepped on his foot. So he goes down, and of course, in the National Football League, if your knee is down but you're not touched, you can get back up. And then somehow he just bloop, 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 into the end zone. And Chris Jones was saying, when it was over, the all-world defender for Kansas City, like, that's on us. How do we not get back there and somehow stop him? But full credit to Trevor Lawrence. I wonder if this is a stepping stone game for him. Maybe this is, you know, been said before because he has all that talent. But, man, watching him, he is maddening, because this was kind of a perfect encapsulation of who he is as a player, right? He'll do something, you're like, what is going on here? And then somehow, or the next play, he does something brilliant. You're like, oh, incredible. And I kind of felt like this was how this game was for him. Like, oh, God, Trevor. Oh, my God, Trevor. Like, what a finish. And that's one of those plays that, you know, could have been like the butt fumble. And instead, it turns into a huge win for Jacksonville.
Right. It felt like the full Trevor Lawrence experience, yeah. Right? Within the confines of a single game. Like, there was a play in the first half where he was visibly over the line of scrimmage. And mm-hmm. he decides to make a forward pass. And you're like, this is somebody they paid $275 million. And the marker's right in front of him. So he makes these, like, boneheaded plays. But again, like, he does deserve credit for staying in the game. And here's the thing. Some of these Kansas City defenders, you can tell they even quit on the play. Like, mm-hmm. they thought the play was over, and that's on them. They're going to have to think about that all week long when they hold that L. But from a macro perspective, this was a big win for the Jaguars, for a team that I think a lot of us, not that we considered them soft, but a little bit untrustworthy in these big-time games. Because before this, you know, they didn't really have a signature win. They had a good win, you know, over a good Niner squad that we are now seeing that Mac Jones maybe isn't as terrible as some people are making him out to be. But this was a good signature win for a Jags team that had not been good against the Chiefs. They were 0-5 in their last 5 meetings against Kansas City, and now they've beaten a team that has, you know, some pedigree to it. This was a massive culture-building win for this team.
Yeah, how are we feeling about the Chiefs now? What do we do with the Chiefs? Still very good. Made some crucial mistakes in this game. Patrick Mahomes threw a 99-yard pick six to linebacker Devin Lloyd. That was a huge game changer, as you can imagine. But the Chiefs now sitting at 2-3. And by the way, I think the Lions come into town on Sunday.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those games where I am not going to write off the Chiefs just yet.
Yeah.
I do think it's surprising that they gave up 31 points, although some of those were not the defense's fault. It was that 99-yard pick six, you know, that added to the total. But still, you know, this is not a Kansas City team that I would still want to face in the postseason. Isn't that what it boils down to? Like, maybe they're not going to be the most dominant team in the regular season, but we already knew that. Like, they have never been a dominant team in the past few years, but look at last year. They were in the Super Bowl. So it just, it feels like one of those teams that's still, like, thawing. But, yeah, maybe we need to stop believing in them, but I, for one, will not be doing that. Again, I feel like when the postseason rolls around, if my team were facing them, I would still be very nervous.
Chiefs, Lions on Sunday. The Jags welcome the Seahawks. So let's head up to Philly now. Talk a little baseball. The Dodgers down the Phillies 4-3. Dodgers minus 130 on the money line. Total set at 7.5. The under hits. Scoreless in the seventh. Until the Dodgers start producing runs, it's 3-0 when Shohei steps to the plate.
Ohtani hits it sharply through for a base hit. This is going to bring in another run. Muncy will score. Over to third goes Smith. And the Dodgers are rolling offensively now.
That's right. The Phillies do threaten in the ninth inning to pull within one. And then the Dodgers pull off the old wheel play. So nobody out, runner on second. And then Max Muncy, expecting a bunt, charges the plate. They get a bunt. Maxie fields it. Or Muncy turns, fields it, and then finds Mookie Betts, who is covering at third, to tag out Nick Castellanos, and that was a play suggested by Betts. A huge turning point in this game because Philly had all of the momentum, but I think ultimately when you look back, it won't just be that one play, Chelsea. It will be the Phillies' big bats, Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, just going cold.
Well, I mean, they got hot at the end. I think the play that people are going to be questioning today is, should you have somebody be bunting in that situation? I think maybe you just hit around. Like, obviously, you get guaranteed contact. But the way that the Dodgers play defense, like, you're not going to catch them off guard. So, hindsight is always 20/20. It just felt like too little too late for the Phillies. Like, you've got to start scoring runs, you know, before the eighth and ninth inning. But, you know, what a defensive clinic from the Dodgers when it mattered the most. Because think about it. The Phillies, I think, had a runner, I think, on second with no outs. They had all the chances in the world to cash in these runs. And instead, the Dodgers just make play after play. Even the final one where Freddie Freeman had to keep his foot on the bag despite a terrible throw from, I think, Tommy Edman to end the game. So I think, you know, that's the takeaway for me, is that the Dodgers were big when it mattered on defense. And we have seen how much fundamentals matter, even in the postseason. Like, hell, we look at the NFL. Just hold on to the ball into the end zone. And then for the Dodgers, like, early in this game, there was a play where Teoscar Hernandez did not hustle to first base. And, you know, Lizardo bobbled the ball. And Teoscar Hernandez would have been safe at first, but he didn't hustle. But at the end of the game, the fundamentals were sound and the defense was flawless. And that's how the Dodgers won the game.
Well, and at some point, these guys, Schwarber and Turner and Harper, have to hit. Like last night, and actually over the first two games of the series, Harper and Schwarber are combined 1-for-14. Like, you have to have your guys, particularly when a game is this close. Like, your big bats right in the middle of that lineup have to produce. That's the difference oftentimes between winning and losing, and it certainly has been over the past couple of games. Those guys have to show up tomorrow night in Los Angeles for Game 3. Last night in Milwaukee, the Brewers over the Cubs 7-3. Brewers minus 125, total set at 8. The over hits. The Cubs jump all over starter Andy Ashby, scoring 3 runs in the first inning. But the Brewers waste no time in answering right back.
Middle finger on your left hand.
Contreras with a drive to left field, and the Brewers have the lead.
Yes, they do. They'll call courtesy of TBS. So, Milwaukee, these guys are just never out of it. And just imagine how
just draining it is for the Cubs to jump out early. Things are going about as well as they possibly can for you. And then immediately, Brewers come right back and tie it. So Jacob Mizorowski came in for Ashby. Three innings of shutout baseball, strikes out four. Jackson Churio, 2-for-4 home run. We heard about Vaughn hitting that home run. Wilson Contreras, 2-for-4 with a home run. The Brewers, man, we keep talking about how good Milwaukee is, and they're showing it right now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a lot easier on the pitching staff when you get some run support to the tune of 9 and 7 runs in your first two postseason games. And as for the Cubs, I think we knew this, that their pitching staff had kind of been worn thin a little bit. And Shota Imanaga has just been not sharp to start some of these games. Like, the first inning has really been his bugaboo. So some people were saying, hey, you know, maybe if you're the manager of the Cubs, maybe use him in that spot that we saw in the wild card where he doesn't start the first inning. But again, hindsight is 20/20, and when you give up 7 runs, like, that's just it. You know, you're not going to win a lot of games when you give up 7 runs, especially if you only get one RBI swing of the bat from Seiya Suzuki, who has been scorching hot this postseason, but not enough if you play the Brew Crew.
Yeah, I don't know what's been going on with Shota. It's interesting, too, because that was part of the handicap for this game. We both like the Brewers, and it's that, yeah, he was very good early in the season at times, unhittable, but I don't know if it's arm fatigue or what's going on. I think that's probably part of it, or guys have seen him, they figure him out. But late in the season, he has been a guy that has been completely fadeable. I think it was he'd given up at least 2 runs or more in 7 straight starts. Now that's 8 starts, and the Brewers taking advantage. Now, one game away from winning a postseason series for the first time since 2018. That is when they made the NLCS in Game 3 tomorrow afternoon in Chicago. Coming up next here on the show, LeBron James teases a big announcement. Will he retire? Will he play with every relative in his family? We're going to talk about it. That is next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It is a Tuesday, guys. Thanks for being with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, LeBron James might be getting ready to retire, or is it just one big troll? That announcement is coming up at noon. I don't want to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it coming up here on the show. I was reading this yesterday. I thought this was fascinating. You know how we always discuss on this show that different times, different eras in sports lend themselves to different behaviors, right? So we joke about smoking taking place in football. Like the Hogs, very famously here in D.C., the offensive line for the Redskins that won 3 Super Bowls, these guys were thick as thieves, amazing, and they would drink beer after practice. They would just go out to this shed, essentially, and just drink. Didn't matter. So in the early 80s, late 70s as well, cocaine was a big problem, particularly in the NBA. It was a problem everywhere. This showed up on my newsfeed. What does it say about my newsfeed? Like, hey, you'd enjoy this story about cocaine, wouldn't you? But Spencer Haywood, who is a Basketball Hall of Famer, he played in the ABA and the NBA, and he's very famously responsible for the reason why kids are able to leave college early for the pros, because back in his day, you had to stay 4 years out of college or out of the high school ranks before you were allowed to go to the pros. And he sued. He went to the Supreme Court. He won that decision. And that was really the avenue for today's athletes to be able to leave for the NBA early. But he was telling the story on some sort of podcast how in 1980, he was playing for the Lakers. And the Lakers went on to win the world championship that year. That was Magic's rookie year. And so he was on the team, and he had such a problem with cocaine at the time. The coach said, hey, you need to stay clean for the finals. And he was like, okay, I'll do it. But he couldn't do it. So he went home one day right during the week of practices before game one. He smokes a bunch of coke, and then he didn't calm down in time, so he had some Quaaludes. And then he goes to practice, falls asleep at practice, and then I believe it was Paul Westphal who said, all right, go home. Go home, you're done. And he didn't get to play the finals because of that. Got a ring. He's a Hall of Famer. But what a crazy time in particular sports where, I don't want to say this is commonplace, but it was certainly a problem in different areas. And obviously things are much different now.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say because I was born in 1988. So like I wasn't like alive and kicking and really know what the decade was about. But like, is this what the 80s were, Jinx? Like, I honestly don't know. Did everybody do drugs?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, 7 at the time, so it wasn't exactly in my heyday. But, yes, you know, cocaine was a huge, huge deal. Like, it was very much part of this exuberant lifestyle that people lived during that decade, right? Where people were discovering this drug for the first time. And that's why they say, if you hear people talking about the 80s, they call it the big 80s. Like, it was big hair. The music was very bombastic. The way people dressed was very bright and colorful and kind of in your face. People were making a lot of money, particularly on Wall Street. They were doing drugs. And it was just like this one big party for a decade. And there were athletes that certainly took advantage of that. And Spencer Haywood also said, you know, the NBA asked me to sort of walk away because I had such a big drug problem. And it was such a big problem. They didn't need another big name having an issue. So I'm not advocating for drugs, but I do think it is fascinating how different leagues evolve because this was a real problem. Like, just like later on in baseball, steroids were a problem. Or then, you know, weed becomes a problem in football or sometimes in basketball now. But it just goes to show how things evolve over time. But this was an interesting story that was very, you know, very extreme compared to some that we heard during that time.
I feel like it was a problem in baseball as well. And, like, I don't want to drop names without, like, making sure I know who actually did it. But, like, the 86 Mets, like, am I misremembering here? I feel like they were kind of partiers, too. Like, you don't hear about this in baseball or basically any sport now because I feel like athletes are so focused on eating clean and keeping their body like a temple so they can play into their 40s. Mm-hmm. But back then, I feel like they fully embraced the full lifestyle of like what people imagine a pro athlete's lifestyle to look like.
Oh, totally. Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry. I mean, part of their careers were derailed because of drug use. This is pretty well documented. Imagine playing for the Mets when they won a world title in 86, I think, and being in New York City and being celebrated the way they were. You know, during that time frame, it had to be just like one big party. I can't even imagine sort of the lifestyle that they were living at that time.
Well, and also people didn't have camera phones. So, like, they can go and do whatever, and it's just like, okay, it's your word against some random person on the street. It's like, okay, like, the gossip, you know, column is reporting it, but it's like, what are you going to do? There's no proof.
No, it's true. And now, look, on radio, you do smelling salts. What happened to our smelling salts, by the way? Gone. Somebody stole them? Somebody stole them. I used to sniff smelling salts. That was less than a year ago. And I will never do that again. It was a terrible mistake. What is LeBron going to do today? Is it going to be a mistake at noon? Yeah, God. Either way, I'm not going to be pleased about this. So LeBron has announced the second decision today at noon, noon Eastern. So what, 9 o'clock on the West Coast? So the thought process is that this is going to be an announcement of his retirement, or it's going to be some sort of ad. Like, remember when Snoop Dogg during the past year, remember when he tweeted, "Oh, I've given up smoke." And for like 24 hours, people were like, "Good for you, Snoop. It's good for you to take care of your health. Long-term weed usage probably isn't good for you. I'm glad you're committing to your family and a healthier lifestyle." And then 24 hours later, he's like, "I've given up smoke because I use the smokeless grill," or something stupid. And it was like, oh, okay, this is all one big ad. So it could be an ad. Maybe LeBron is going to be sponsored by Amazon Prime this season. Who knows? Or maybe he's actually walking away. What do you think is going to happen?
I feel like we are all so jaded when it comes to ads, because this is what we see on social media every single day. And it's even from like your neighbor down the street. People who are not even famous, where they tell this long sob story about like, "Oh, our dog passed away, and that's why now we use pet insurance from Pharma." And you're like, what? Stop using personal stories to sell things. We got to stop doing this. But back to LeBron. It just feels very, I don't know, peculiar that Prime Days on Amazon are coming up. I don't know if it's this week or next. But here's the thing. I believe the NBA also has a deal with Amazon where they're going to be showing the NBA on Amazon. So there are just a lot of things to make you a little suspicious of this. But if he is retiring, it would be his 23rd season for number 23. And it does make a ton of sense. And if we know LeBron, we know that he loves attention. And I do think he's going to want a farewell tour. So whenever he does retire, I do think he announces it, and maybe this is this.
Either way, I hate this. I absolutely hate this. I think it's an ad. First of all, why are you doing this so early? I think it might be a partnership with Prime. Why do you want to do it early with Amazon Prime Day today and tomorrow? Because the earlier, the more people can get online and start shopping, right? You don't want to do this late. Take advantage of Prime Day. Number two, when he posted that video of the second decision, this snippet, this 10-second video, I didn't recognize the interviewer, and it looked like the most generic basketball court on the planet. It looked like something that might be a soundstage. So I think this is an ad. So if that's what this is, it's so lame to draw all of our attention to this. And by the way, because people think it might be a retirement, tickets for Lakers games are going through the roof right now. Like, the baseline tickets are more than $500 easy. And then if it's not, if it's an actual retirement, this is pretty self-indulgent. Like, let me give you one big announcement to tell you that I'm retiring. You can just tell everyone. You can release a statement. You don't need to have the second decision. Like, the original decision was derided, and I think rightfully so, because you made this decision to leave your hometown, and I know it went back, and now we see kids all the time when they commit somewhere saying, "I'm going to take my talents," and that's because of LeBron. So either way, I'm not thrilled with this, but I do think if I had to choose, I think it might be an ad.
I don't know. It could be both. It could be his retirement sponsored by Prime.
True.
But this is what we've come to expect from LeBron. And I do think this is another thing people like hold against him when you compare him with Michael Jordan, because that comparison is always going to exist. It's like the old heads are like, Michael Jordan would never. Even though didn't Michael Jordan like unretire and put out press releases? And here's the thing. It's difficult to compare eras because, you know, social media was not a thing back then. And here's the thing, like, this is also how you play the game. I think we all kind of wrestle with this, is that you kind of have to be self-serving and facing towards yourself to be popular on social media. Like, from a marketing standpoint, you have to hit people over the face with stuff. So I will say from that standpoint, and somebody who has wanted a career in Hollywood, I just saw this the other day where there is a movie shooting in New York with Mark Wahlberg where LeBron James is listed as a producer. So he's somebody who knows the power of social media marketing. He knows that you have to play the game. He lives in LA. Like, this is what everybody does. So I think that it's just part of what makes LeBron LeBron.
Also, here's the thing. He's played with Bronny, okay? People forget he has another son, Bryce, who is at Arizona this year. Why don't you want to play with Bryce? What did Bryce do to you? Why just Bronny? Like, if LeBron sticks around for another season, I mean, he could easily pull the same strings that he pulled with the Lakers and get Bryce to go somewhere or leave him play with Bryce for a season. He said that was his dream, to play with his son, but you got two sons. Why not play with Bryce as well? Maybe that is another mark in the idea that, okay, this is an ad because he wants to play with Bryce as well. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to play with both guys when you have the ability, because he was great last year. Even as old as he is, he's still very productive.
There was a lot that went into the discussions, though, about Bronny, right? And I'm not sure if he wants to relive that. Because I don't think that went as well as he thought it was going to go in his head, right? I feel like it went into, like, him arguing with all these pundits, with Stephen A., like, saying, don't talk about my son. What are we supposed to do? Like, these are basketball analysts, and he is a basketball player. Like, this is what they're literally paid to do. So I don't know if he wants to relive that experiment again. So I don't know. It's hard to know what's going on in LeBron's head. Because I feel like sometimes the things that he does, you're like, why would you do that? But also, do you think he's concerned with his legacy? Because that's another thing I was thinking about. Like, do you think he wants to go out as somebody who looks like a very good basketball player in his prime? Or do you think he wants to keep slogging away? Like, maybe some of this is tied to his faith in the Lakers organization. Maybe he doesn't believe that this is a team that's going to win a championship. I feel like there are so many things that could go into this.
I mean, it's true. Maybe he's going to make Space Jam 3. Maybe he sits down and says, guess what, guys? Space Jam 3 coming soon to a theater near you.
Yuck.
Streaming on Amazon Prime, my new sponsor. I'm sponsored by Amazon Prime this season. After every game, Prime Performance. Prime Performance from the Lakers tonight. And you're like, oh, my God. Will LeBron stop with this, please? Yeah, I was really frustrated before the game. The muscle cream that I use here in the trainer's room, we're out. But thank God Amazon was there. Same day delivery. So that's why I'm a member of Amazon Prime. I mean, stranger things have happened. I mean, we're slowly moving towards advertisements on college football uniforms. That's going to be a thing here in 2 or 3 years. So nothing would surprise me at this point. But as far as LeBron's legacy is concerned, look, even if he plays another year, he's still going to be really good. Like 24 points, almost 8 boards, 8 assists a game last season. He still plays at a high level. And to me, when you look at his basketball career, I'm not a believer that if he tails off over the past couple of seasons, it means anything. Like, it doesn't take away anything that he's accomplished. I will say, though, that his longevity and his ability to produce at a high level over such a long period of time is, to me, the most remarkable thing about his career.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the one thing that it feels like maybe he has over Michael Jordan, right? The fact that he has been productive for longer in his career, because I don't know, like, if I'm misremembering this, but, like, the final years for Michael Jordan were certainly not his best years. He was not somebody who was, like, firing on all cylinders when he was with the Wizards, right? Like, please correct me if I'm wrong.
He was
but
fine.
But it didn't feel like he was...
Right.
But, like, he wasn't Michael
Jordan.
No.
He wasn't nearly, like, in his prime. No question about it. I think he averaged 20 points even a game. So he was fine, but certainly not to MJ standards. You're right about that.
Right. So that's the one thing that LeBron has over MJ. So why not ride it out? Why not keep playing? Or maybe he's just mad that it feels like maybe he's not the face of the league anymore. Because it doesn't feel like he really is.
No, he's not. Or, I mean, he's right there. He's still LeBron. You know, he's still LeBron. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's announcing another banana boat trip. I just want you guys to know, me and my buddies, we're getting ready to hang out again just before the season gets underway. And the season is coming. NBA season gets underway October 21st. So 2 weeks from today, we get NBA action. And you know, you talk about taking care of your body. What did MJ do back in the day? Smoke cigars, play golf, drink beer, gambled. You know, things have changed in a big way. Coming up next year on the show, we're going to let D-Day and Double D bring the takes. and tell you what we think on this Tuesday morning. It is a Daily Tip, and it's here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back. Thrilled to have you with us on a Tuesday. Oh, we're getting going here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Jake, she's Chelsea, coming up on the show. It's a Take Tuesday, so find out if we agree with the minds of D-Day and Double D, including what's next for Saquon Barkley. I don't think we talked about this yesterday. Did you see Theo Vaughn get shut down on College Game Day when he was talking to Jess Sims? It was really, really funny. Yeah, oh, so, of course, he was the guest picker on the show, and, you know, very funny guy, and so at some point, she is interviewing him, and at the end of the interview, he says to her, "Do I get to see you again?" And she goes, "No, I hope not." And they go back to the set, like, done. So he got called out on social media, and he just responded, "Shoot or shoot." So that's the way it goes. But I thought it was very funny. You don't normally see something like that on live TV. Everyone tries to keep it, you know, pretty professional. But her firing back, "I hope not," was really funny.
Yeah, in the moment, that was really a quick and witty response from her. But this is what we've kind of come to expect from comedians who go on College Game Day. Because, like, they don't have boundaries, but that's part of what makes them funny. Like, remember when Shane Gillis went on College Game Day and called Nick Saban Alabama Jones? Like, it feels like it's almost sacrilegious to make fun of Nick Saban, God walking in the world of college football. Yeah. So I do like the fact that some of these guys kind of push the limits, but, like, you don't have to put her in that position. There are other ways to be funny.
Was there a time when you shot somebody down back in the day before you married Jake and you just, like, put the hammer down? You're like, "Don't even try, buddy."
I feel like it's a lot easier to think in the moment, "I'm going to be so funny and I'm going to say something quick-witted." And then the moment comes and you're just thrown off because you're not expecting it. So, like, without getting into the weeds, like, some of this is, like, really over the line. Because, like, things have been a lot better, I feel like, now. Like, I'm sure it still goes on. But like even 10 years ago, the things that you could say to young women right. and people just laugh them off and you're like, because you don't want to lose your job, you know, and it's a right. power thing. Because like think about like most of these women who are sideline reporters or whatever, and you're interviewing these like high powered, you know, head coaches or athletes who are making $250 million a year. It's like the power dynamic is to the point where you can't even say anything. So you're like, inside I'm cringing, but outside I'm just going to laugh it off.
Well, maybe we'll have a good laugh and enjoy a good conversation with Double D and D-Day here because it's a Take Tuesday.
It's time for Take Tuesday. Are these takes hot?
So hot.
So hot.
Or not?
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, Double D. I'm seeing some of these in the rundown. Love a good take, especially after week five is over. College football is over for the week, for the time being, at that level. So what do you got?
All right, we're going to start off in college football. Texas Tech is being slept on as a national title contender. Tech is one of two teams in college football that is in the top 10 in both offense and defense. You should jump on the Natty number at plus 2,500 for Texas Tech.
You know what I'm going to say, Double D, is that you're spot on here. 100. I'm going to give a deeper analysis because I was thinking about this yesterday. So this is great minds, my friend, because I hate Texas Tech, okay? I do not like Texas Tech. People know that. I like Texas, and if you're another Texas team, I don't like you. I was thinking about this as well, so I will spare the analysis because I don't want to repeat myself, but I think right now, Texas Tech is a sneaky good bet at 25-1, and it pains me to say it, but this is a really good football team, and they got Baron Morton back last week, which is huge for their offense, so you're not wrong.
I think this is a good number for a team that is supposed to make the college football playoffs because I don't think they're being slept on in that regard because over at BetMGM, Texas Tech to make the college football playoffs is minus 190. So clearly they are getting some respect from some people, at least the odds makers. They're even the favorites to win the Big 12. And I think that is the pathway because obviously you win the Big 12, you get into the college football playoff. And right now all of the numbers are very good for Texas Tech to the point where ESPN College Football has like some type of algorithm that they do for the team that has the best chance to go undefeated for the rest of the regular season. And Texas Tech has the best chance, according to that algorithm, even above Ohio State. But here's what I feel like the sabotage factor is. I feel like sometimes we see a team that kind of comes into the fold and they make the college football playoff and they have a nice run. But when it comes down to it, like the national championship, this reminds me of like TCU, where TCU had this storybook season and they made it all the way to the national championship. And then they get absolutely smoked, you know, by a team that just feels like they have the deeper, more talented roster. I'm not saying Texas Tech isn't talented. I am just saying that sometimes it takes a year to kind of be in that realm before you can actually win a national championship. Because like, when's the last time that happened in college football? Just feels like it's a who's who of all these blue chip teams.
Okay. D-Day, what do you got?
All right, we're going to the NFL. We've discussed at length over the course of the last couple of weeks how slow the Eagles' offense has started. Saquon Barkley is a major reason for that. Only 267 yards through five games. He's yet to have 100 yards rushing in a game. But with all of that said, I still believe he is eclipsing 1,200 yards this year.
Chelsea?
So he has to have like 1,000 yards for the rest of the season. Is that the math?
1,000 yards over the next 12 games.
It's definitely in the realm of possibility, but at the end of the day, it just feels to me like the Eagles need to focus on winning games. And like with the current situation with like AJ Brown running the ball as well, I'm not so sure. And sometimes it can be really difficult to reproduce those type of seasons and stay healthy for the entire year, because think about the wear and tear that he had on his tires last year, and especially playing in a Super Bowl, because it wasn't just, oh, he rushed for all these yards during the regular season. He played more games than just about every other team in the NFL because they played in the Super Bowl. So I'm not so sure.
I'm going to say I agree with Denton here. So if you do the quick math, then he needs to average, Saquon does, almost 78 yards a game over the next 12 games. And, you know, it's one thing to slow down in your career, but I just don't believe, as talented as Saquon is, that we're suddenly seeing this precipitous drop off. Like, he went from all world best running back on the planet to, oh, he can't run the ball. Like, that's too much of a drop off for me to believe that he can't eclipse this number. And ultimately, I think the Eagles want to find a way to get him involved. He's been more involved in the passing game this year. He's still getting some carries, but I think he's the key to unlocking that offense. So no matter what it takes, they're going to find a way to do it. They're going to get Saquon involved, particularly after that loss to the Broncos. And also, he'll probably run wild against the Commanders, frankly. I hate saying that. May struggle against the Giants on Thursday, but I think Saquon gets there. So I'm going to say yes.
Can I say one thing before we move on? I know
sure.
We're flying through these, but okay. So the year after Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards, which I understand they're different players. The season after, he only played in 8 games and rushed for 937 yards. So like that goes to my point that it's just difficult to have back-to-back seasons where you're the absolute workhorse.
Well, yeah, but how many games did he play? Only 8, though. Like this is sure.
Because he was hurt. That's my point. Is
well,
it
yeah,
like
but
Saquon
if he's,
could get hurt.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, but if he goes, like, he could always get hurt, sure. But if he plays the full complement of games remaining, if he plays 12 games and then he plays, you know, 17 games overall, I think he can get it. We'll see. All right, Double D.
All right, I wish I could bet on this next one because I absolutely would lay the money. Ohio State will lose their first game this weekend in Champaign against the Fighting Illini. Illinois is +550 to win the game.
I don't think they're going to win this game. I think they have a real problem in keeping Luke Altmyer upright in this game. Like, I would love to see it. I'm watching the game this weekend. I'm watching Ohio State, Illinois, followed by Texas, Oklahoma. And a buddy of mine is a Buckeye. Secretly, I'd love for him to lose that game because I don't like Ohio State. But I just don't think the Atlanta have the horses to hang with the Buckeyes.
I feel like it could happen just because chaos happens all the time in college football, especially because this is a road game for Ohio State. But, like, I don't find a good reason to think it. You know, like, there's not enough logic behind it for me to, like, say, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. Like, maybe it does, but I don't have any good reasons to say that.
Okay. Yeah, it's tough. Denton, do you care?
Ohio State's not.
I thought so. I just wanted to check.
I mean, they've allowed 2 touchdowns through 5 games.
They're very good.
And Indiana or Illinois got 63 hung on their head top by Indiana. That does not have nearly the wide receivers that Ohio State does. That game is going to be over by 1 p.m. I'm going to the NBA. We just talked about LeBron James. This is going to be his final season. I believe he's announcing his retirement. I actually think he's going to announce that he's going to try for some form of ownership after he retires. But with that said, I think he only plays 45 games in his final season.
You know what?
I'm not going to be shocked.
I agree with you. I think LeBron is... The one thing that drives me crazy about LeBron is definitely the self-promotion, where you sort of just fall in love with yourself and your status, and you want everyone to give you your flowers. And I think this is... I mean, maybe it's an ad. I do think the announcement today could be an ad, which I've said. But if it's not, we know retirement is coming soon. And I think with LeBron being as good as he's been for so long, certainly won't want the wear and tear on his body. And I think I can absolutely foresee a scenario where, you know, he plays half the games or a little more than half. And then, you know, he gets all of his accolades and all of the honors and all the things that will come to him, which are part of a retirement tour. And he kind of takes it easy and just enjoys his final ride.
Yeah, I think that it would be perfectly logical. And nobody's going to get mad except for the people who bought tickets to the LeBron James retirement tour. And it's like, oh, well, LeBron's not here. But I will say, just simply from a number standpoint, this would be, you know, the lowest amount of games that he's played in his season. In 2020 to 21, was that the COVID year? Because he played 45 games in that year, but I think that might have been the COVID year. So last year, maybe we do need to give him some credit. He played 70 games last year and 71 the year before. So he played in like a good amount of games last year, but it's not going to shock me if he only plays 45 this year.
Yeah. If he does, I hope it's not because COVID returns. Not yearning for those days. But we'll find out today at noon what the deal is with LBJ. Coming up next on the show, how about a fresh look at national title futures with Texas and Penn State dropping like a rock? That's next on the Daily Tip. Hour 2 is on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.